Where the Dead Go, Gemma Woodstock, Book 3. Written by Sarah Bailey and read by Kate Hosking. The girl pushes blindly through the wall of trees, tripping over her feet. The crash still rings in her ears and joins the uneven rhythm of her breathing. She pauses, momentarily overwhelmed, as she stands in the darkness. Then she yanks her phone from her pocket, waking the screen and pressing buttons until a fresh rush of anger surges through her. She shoves it back. What's the point of calling him? What more is there to say? There's a low rumble nearby before the road lights up like a runway and two giant beams bear down on the asphalt. She scrambles backwards to the safety of the thick shrubbery. A truck thunders past, rattling the bones of the earth. The world is cast back into darkness and she wrenches strands of her long hair free from twigs and branches, stepping back onto the road and running toward a distant street lamp. Mannequins leer from their glass cages and cartoon signs seem to have an underlying sinister tone. Even though it's still warm, the girl hugs her hands around her torso, desperately wishing she was wearing a jacket. Snap. She stiffens. Was that the sound of someone treading on a stick? Without stopping to look, the girl veers off the main road and darts to the small path leading to the beach. Blood pounds through her veins. Sweat and makeup mingle with her tears. Stop crying. Stop being so pathetic. Deep down, she knows where she's headed and swallows past the shame. But it's not like she planned for the night to work out like this, for any of this to happen. Underfoot, the grainy dirt turns to sand and the tunnel of trees opens onto the curve of the bay. The moon hangs above the ocean, a giant white orb that spotlights the tips of the waves. A stitch stabs at her side and she bends over to catch her breath. Pushing her fingers against her belly in an effort to ease the pain, she stumbles along the edge of the sand past the car park. A sob escapes her throat and she hastily blocks out the scenes from earlier. Arguments echo in her head, the words chasing each other until she's crying again. His touch lingers on her skin and regret overwhelms her. She lost her mind for a moment back there. On the left, she reaches a worn wooden fence and beyond that, the soft glow of the service station. She looks up along the shore to where the jagged cliffs mark the end of town. She looks back toward the shop. She desperately needs some water. A low voice threads past the pulsing in her brain. She whips around, eyes huge and heart hammering. Nothing. Just the wind ruffling the dry grass and the rhythmic hum of the sea kissing the shore. She eases the gate open and steps onto the cracked asphalt. That's when she sees them. Two shadowy figures huddled in the far corner of the car park next to the open boot of a vehicle. Her eyes adjust enough for the twosome to be recognisable, for her to make out what is happening. Betrayal smacks her hard in the face and to her horror she whimpers. The shadows freeze. Her feet are balls of concrete rooted to the ground. Trees swish gently, waves crash against sand. One of the figures breaks away, takes a step towards her. "Hello, Abby," he says. He tilts his head kindly, but there's malice in his gaze. "You're out late." She tightens her grip on her phone and fumbles backwards, gasping, falling. Her wrists buckle as she hits the ground, but she barely registers the pain. "No!" she yells, scrambling to her feet. "Come on, don't be like that." He walks quicker now. She staggers away from the beach toward the shops. Her veins become ice tunnels, jarring against the heat of her blood. Another voice yells her name, high and desperate. There's a sharp metallic clatter as something hits the ground. Her phone, dropped from her shaky fingers. He kicks it along and picks it up. He laughs. "No, no, no." Desperate, she scans the empty street. The artificial light from the service station reaches around a large vehicle parked near the Bowsers, but there's no way she can get there before he reaches her. She knows how strong he is, and she doesn't know how far he'll go, what he is capable of. She doesn't even think to scream. Her only thought is to run. His footsteps are loud behind her as she propels herself forward, struggling to breathe while dread threatens to choke her. The sporadic cries of her name are lost in the dance of the wind.